rewind. Welcome to our board meeting tonight. We need to excuse Nanette Tanner. She's not going to be with us, as well as Jared Black. Rest of the board members are present, and Superintendent Citrude. So with that, we will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will start with the first item, which the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes, and financial reports for November 2012. Any discussion on that?
I move that we approve them.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have some personnel actions, names for approval.
I have one name, special education, educational assistant, parent almost 3 hours for a special needs student that's moved in over there. And the interviews have recommended Katie Dyer. So I recommend to the board that she be approved in that 3 hour position at Fairhaven Elementary.
I'll make a motion that we approve her.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have the approval of the 2013 school board meeting schedule.
You should have received a copy, and pretty typical of other meeting schedules, other than the January meeting, where instead of holding it on January 2nd, the day first day back from holiday, I think it's on the 9th, as I recall.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, unless you see some real conflicts, we're recommending the board approve that meeting schedule for 2013.
I move that we approve it. Or did you have a question?
No, I was just, I was going to say, is Wednesday always good for you guys? Because I know sometimes so good, always good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we get to go to the principal's report. We're anxious to hear your...
I was just composing.
Yeah, don't. You don't have time for that.
That's okay. I want to thank you first off for giving me the opportunity to be a principal at Huntington Elementary. I thoroughly have enjoyed it the last few months, and it's been rejuvenating for me. Not that I'm not criticizing the junior high. I love the junior high kids, but after 19 years, for me, I needed a change. So I appreciate the opportunity. Very much enjoyed it. I get a lot more hugs and full hand waves,
right,
and things like that. It's really good. I've seen some marvelous teaching here, some wonderful teaching. There are some excellent teachers, and I'm impressed with it. See some struggles also in many of our children. You know, trying to reach the all kids reading on third grade is by third grade is a challenge. So we're looking at it. We're trying to decide how we can best help each kid and how we're going to try. I appreciate the Dibbles that we use in the district. That helps a lot. And I know that with the primary grades there, they're tracking every week how they're doing improvements. And we feel that will help us understand what we need to do in the grades. We're hoping to get Dibbles on the iPads for the upper grades, is, you know, as soon as money's available for it. I guess it's pretty expensive, so we'll see how that goes. We are discussing it as a faculty, how to improve the kids' reading and their math, and trying to help them understand how important it is. Some of it is, like I've seen throughout my career, it's just kind of lackadaisical. It's not important. And it starts at a very early age, earlier than I thought, to tell you the truth. But we're still working on that, trying to help that come about. Got some marvelous aides. A bunch of people are wonderful, and they work very hard. I've seen a lot of hard work happening here. I'm just happy to be part of it. This unit is it wasn't my doing, but it's my, I've adopted it. It's my baby now. The Huntington Elementary last year with Tom, they decided they wanted some iPads for school. And so with the help of John's direction and
that's a neat thing.
Yeah, this is an expensive cart, but it will, it not only charges it, but it will sync them all to the same apps just from one machine. So, you know, we're really excited about that. And it's well worth it. They're covered, they're ready to go. We're excited about having them. We are being very careful. We're following all the laws and guidelines of how to get the apps and how to purchase them and making sure they're legal and all that. But we're also, we've got a committee and we're looking carefully at the apps. We don't want it to be a game center. We're not looking for that. We are looking for educational help. We've come up with a number of them. There's some incredible apps out there. One of them happens to be Google Earth. I don't know if you've ever spent time on Google Earth, but it's incredible. And we can see some real uses for that for kids. Their writing programs, pages, numbering programs, like Excel, whatever the word is for Excel, like that. Plus, there's all kinds of math and reading and science already on there. Star guides, where you pull it up and wherever you point it, it'll show you the sky and what's there at that time. Just incredible opportunities we feel. But we also feel we have to be careful. We're not just going to let it become an entertainment center. We've spent too much money on it, and we do believe that kids are natural at technology. They already know how to use this stuff, even the little ones. We watched a short video, I think it was it John? I can't remember who showed it to me. Anyway, it was a baby, just old enough to sit. And they gave her a magazine, and she was going like this, and going like this. And it was just like going, holy Toledo. And my grandkids, I see my grandkids use it. And they love the educational parts of it as much as they love the other stuff. Well, maybe not as much. Maybe not as much.
It's interesting. It's gotten to a point now, if you have a laptop computer and you had an iPad or an iPod, I even watched Jared the other day over at the office, had a laptop and he was hitting the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work.
We're getting spoiled. Who knows what's coming
on the screen on his laptop.
But we believe the kids are ready and are capable and it's our purpose. I hope to report to you next board meeting. Hopefully I'll have some, show you some work that the kids have done using the technology.
So do you wheel it around, excuse me for interrupting, a couple of each class, or this is your total iPads right
this
here?
This is our total iPad right now.
And so you wheel into different rooms at different times?
That's going to be a hard thing, yeah. Because I believe that once they start using it in their classroom, there's going to be a battle over it to say, hey, I don't want it. So we're going to have to be careful scheduling that. But I can also see in the future that we may want to have a number of classroom sets. I don't know the overall cost. We actually saved some money. There were 400 apiece for the iPods instead of the 600. So we saved some money there. The cart was 2,500, and apps range anywhere from free to $10. So there's a lot of free stuff. So it is an expensive kind of thing. Also, one of the things that we didn't foresee by getting these was how to get to the internet. So we've had to spend some extra money to get wireless throughout the building because it's only in John's areas, the special ed rooms and the title rooms. Mm-hmm. So that's been an additional cost. And thank heaven for Wayne Roberts, who's putting a lot of that in. Well, he's putting all of it in for us, but he's here as often as he can to get that up.
Now, one of the things that we have been, I guess, last year and this year at least, in the special ed programs in our schools, John, they have implemented the iPads, and the kids in special ed programs have been using them now. And I do have a daughter in self-contained in Cottonwood, but she's better than I am on the iPad. I mean, she just goes crazy on those math applications.
Yeah. And there's hardly any learning time, training time, so to speak. They just naturally can After a couple times, they've gone.
How old is she, Kurt?
Well, she's in fourth grade.
Fourth, okay.
But she's in the self-contained at Cottonwood, and the iPad, I mean, they love it. The kids are really good on it. Mm-hmm. You know, some great applications.
Have any of you ever read The Monster at the end of this book?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interactive iPad. It reads to the kids, and when they come to the different parts, like he builds a brick wall, they knock down the brick wall. When he ties the pages together, they break the notes. And I've had some kids from kindergarten to second grade, they've just had to wait for their mother or something, so I pulled it up on my iPad. You probably don't want to take time to do that. I can show you if you want. But I pull up on my iPad, and they come back in. Hey, can I see the monster book again?
Okay.
And it reads it to them. There's all kinds of books that the words are at the bottom of the page, and the words highlight as it reads the story to them.
That would be nice.
You know, it'll never take the place of a parent reading at home, but it's
pretty close.
The kids love it.
Sometimes that's all they've got, too.
They don't have it at all.
So we'd be happy to take any suggestions, or if you find any apps that are great that your kids use, let us know.
All right.
And we'd be happy to incorporate.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we are excited.
Is the iPad Mini something that would be you'd be interested in? I mean, there's a little less cost.
You know, I think in the future it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I it wasn't available when we purchased it.
Right, right.
But I think in the future it will be. It'll take up less space.
Right.
You know, hopefully it'll cost less.
Yeah,
but it's Apple. Anything Apple is going to be expensive.
It is.
Yeah, but they work great.
Yeah.
Well, it's just
they're worth it.
Easy.
It's just another iPad in a smaller format. You know, it's like an iPhone, smaller format.
You know? I have to tell you though that you know our school district, thanks to John and other techs and principals and others, we're so far ahead of many districts in technology.
I know that's true.
I talk to superintendents and principals who, you know, when you really talk about what we have in technology, we're just so far ahead of most districts.
It
particular
is.
Districts in the rural areas in our side.
Yeah,
and we have been for years.
We have two computer labs, one here and one out in the trailer out there. Kids get a half an hour at least once a week. The lower grades a little more often. They're writing, they're doing reading eggs, they're doing a lot with the technology.
And I really sincerely say that in appreciation to a board who supports capital outlay, technology, the purchase of these kind of things, because it makes a huge difference.
It's a great part.
To their employees.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Well, you deserve it.
How heavy is that cart?
You know, it's pretty heavy, but it rolls just very nice.
I'm just wondering if you could lock it up really good, because that's an expensive cart.
I was wondering why
this
was locking the refrigerator.
Yeah, for a while.
That's what it looked like.
Good, I opened it.
Cookies were in there.
Yeah. The unit locks up with padlock that's into the steel card in two places.
That's all I found.
And then
that's
we keep it lock and key.
Okay.
Good.
That's awesome.
Anyway,
that's
we're exciting. Excited about it.
That's
excited.
Nice.
And I don't really think I have anything else. Do you have any questions for me about the school or anything? I'm trying to understand what's going on. I think we've got a good rapport. I've tried to establish an open communication with my teachers. We're still working on that. They're still testing me out. So we're trying. So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you.
Can I just give one little bit of input from the teachers with whom I work here in the school? I have heard so many positive comments and how much they appreciate your being in the classrooms.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I love it in the classroom.
Thank you.
Too many reports.
That's great. That's great. That's a good inroad. Thanks. Let's go to superintendent's report.
Okay. First of all, I want to pass this card, this thank you, on to you. This was not my doing, but when I got back to the district office today, they asked me if I would deliver this to you. This is a thank you from the district office staff for all that you do and for the bonus and for everything the board does. They asked me, just as I got there at 4 o'clock, if I'd bring that over to you. So you don't have to sign it, Sam. It's for you.
Oh.
It's to the board.
Okay.
Just pass it on down to the people again.
He appreciates it, Stu.
Yeah, he wanted us to know.
Sign it for myself.
My teachers were very appreciative of that as well.
Just a reminder on the USBA convention in January, there is one item in regard to that, and maybe you'll have to think about it and send us an email, but Jared got a letter from EMI Health inviting board members to dinner at Little America on that Thursday night, the first night, January 10th, there at the Little America Steakhouse. It says will be completed just before the School Board Association first general session at 7 p.m. I don't know how many of you go up and get there early enough that you'd want to have dinner with EMI, but he does need a count on how many would be interested. This would be for you and for spouses that go. And so I don't know if you're prepared to say, yes, I'd like to have dinner on Thursday night, or no, I won't be there in time, or I don't know whether you want to just shoot Jared an email tomorrow and let him know, or...
Do they indicate how soon they need to know?
Well, it just says by January 3rd, so there is time to think about it. So
okay.
I'll just let you know about it, and then we can send you an email and have you respond to it.
That'd be great.
So
thank you.
It doesn't even say what time. It just says it'll be done by the first general session at 7 p.m. But
start there, work
mine.
That's
that.
Right.
I sent you some information on the educator evaluation. That's just for you. It gives you a little better feel of a small part of what's coming, particularly with regard to having a committee put together and moving forward with that in the next couple of years. And I also have some additional information I gave you tonight, and I apologize I didn't get to you in the packet at the end of the week, but I didn't have this at that time. As you're aware, the Rural Schools Association commissioned a study out of the Utah Foundation. It was also financially supported by the State Office of Education, and this was a study done in 1997, and this was a new study to determine where rural schools are in relation to urban schools or non-rural schools, speaking mostly of high schools, basically high schools, to compare the equity in education. This is the executive summary that I've given to you of that study, just for you to look at. The study itself is 131 pages, very detailed. There are some good things in this study. One thing that it did show is that rural districts do better on the core test, those things that are core tested, than non-rural schools, also have a higher graduation rate. But at the same time, the areas that really stand out are the fact that the students in rural areas are not having the depth, they don't have the depth and breadth of courses or the advanced courses that the non-rural schools have, and that shows up on the college entrance exams like ACT. The rural schools in general average about 1 point lower on the ACT than do non-rural schools. And so that's obviously a result of not having that breadth and depth of offerings or higher level course offerings, particularly in the necessary just in small schools. It also pointed out what we knew about rural schools facing significant challenges on hiring teachers, finding teachers with specialties, or that can teach multiple subject areas. But this is the executive summary just for you to look at. Be happy to answer questions if you have them as much as I can. They're, like I say, if you want the whole study, you can go to the Utah Foundation website and you can print out 131 pages. Or you can read it online. It was a $50,000 study, and it's, like I say, about $30,000 of that came from the State Office of Education, and they're very much interested in knowing what to do as far as legislation. One thing that it did point out was the critical need for the necessary to exist in small schools funding. And they were very clear that the reason that we do have some of the things that we do have is because of that funding, and it's a good source of reinforcement in the fact that we need that money And at some point down the road, even probably even more money for those necessary because in small schools.
Good.
I was surprised that rural schools were doing as well as they are, to be honest with you, as far as the basic curriculum and the comparisons there. With the use of technology, we have closed the gap on the AP concurrent enrollment, those kind of courses with urban non-rural school districts because of technology. And so, you know, there are some real positive things. Transportation continues to be a huge issue, a huge difference in equity between rural and non-rural and being able to participate in the same kinds of things because of transportation costs. And one other, now I can't remember what it was now. So anyway, that's just for your information, and I'd encourage you to read through at least the executive summary of that study, and I'm sure you'll hear, you may see some of that in the newspapers. I've seen at least one article on it already in the Tribune or Deseret News, I'm not sure which, but this will be used quite a bit at the legislature this year, particularly to protect the NEST funding. Utah High School Activities Association, I've given you a copy of the realignment. Of course, Green River stays at 1A all the way through, but Emory High will be in 2A again, except football. And in football, they're putting them in 3A.
What?
So yeah, they're splitting that's in the packet I just gave
you.
Yeah,
I saw that. But
toward the back, there's two pages. The first page is the alignment for all sports except football, and
has that been done before?
No, I don't know that it has, to be honest with you. You see, Emory is right at the top of 2A in enrollment. They're in the top two, and so when they looked at the numbers of teams that they needed, they could either, those at the bottom, they could drop down, or those at the top, they could move up. And it looks to me like in order to balance it out, they've moved Emory into 3A so that they'll compete with Carvin and Grantsville, Judge Memorial, Morgan, and Union in our region. And then there will be a South region, but basically 12 teams for football in 2A. I haven't really got an opinion from Emory High as how they feel about it. I got the impression that they may have even wanted to be in 3A for football.
Really?
But I haven't talked directly to the coach or to the principal about that. But it was interesting to me that they created a 3AA, not just a 3A, but a 3AA for those higher schools with higher student populations.
That's not too competing bad.
Competing with each other.
You go over to some of these, like
most of those
Park
being
City,
the southern part of the state.
Cedar City.
So that's just for information for you also. I gave you a little bit more information about capital outlay equalization. Senator Roslin is still moving forward. He wants to do something, but today I learned that he is thinking about delaying it a year. Right now he's talking about taking the property tax on commercial property, taking 5% of it off the top to go to NEST schools, and the remaining 95% to be distributed to all other schools based on student population. We haven't really taken time to calculate what that would do to us. Talked to a superintendent today, Uinta, calculated that they would lose about $500,000 in capital outlay funding. And I think we may be a little worse off than that, but if that goes through, what I really see happening is in order to maintain how we've been doing things in the past, you'll see a tax burden shift from the commercial over to the residential. And you're already seeing in the paper this week proposed tax increases by the county and those are judgment levies. So this is one that really concerns me. He would allow the use of capital outlay funds for M&O if the district can certify that their capital needs have been met and that they get approval from the State Office of Education. To give more flexibility, but that's one we need to watch. And of course, sequestration, if you listen to the news, I don't know what's going to happen there.
I don't either.
But you know, my honest opinion is that the biggest impact isn't going to be necessarily on state agencies as much as it is on the individual income tax out of your paychecks. They're calculating anywhere from an average of $1,600 to $2,500 more in federal tax every year for the average taxpayer. We'll lose about $120,000 $30,000 in Title I, Title II, Title III, the federal programs. The biggest loser in our district would be the school lunch program. And as you're aware, you can't supplement school lunch out of your other district funds. It has to be self-supporting. So if we lose $40,000 or $50,000 out of school lunch, I don't know what you do other than raise lunch prices. And so hopefully that'll get resolved. If it does, the projections that we heard today was that the state would have $400 million in new funding. That's, I think, about almost $300,000 in ongoing and a little over $100,000 in one-time funding, which is good. It's great. But if they don't get that resolved, we could have a $100 million deficit in the state. So that, it is a big deal, the sequestration. One last thing I want to report to you, and Laurel may be able to shed more light on this, but I just received a copy of a health department rule that would require teachers to show documentation of having received immunizations or being exempt from immunizations to districts beginning next school year. The rule says, before school begins in the 2013-14 school year, all public education employees, not just teachers, will be required to show documentation to their district officials of having received or having been exempted from receiving. And then it lists MMR, two doses, unless you were born prior to 1957. So some of us are off the hook. But that's just what the MMR. Pertussis, the DTaP, which is pertussis, one dose, and chickenpox vaccination, unless you can show that you have had somehow prove that you've already had the disease or had the shot. But the problem is that most records only go back about 12 years unless you have your own personal record in your scrapbook somewhere.
Yeah, chickenpox didn't come, yeah.
But there is some talk about allowing school district employees to sign an affidavit that says I've either had the immunization or I've had the disease. But one way or another, there's going to be some documentation on immunizations for school district employees beginning next school year. So
they haven't had the chickenpox, so they'll get it from their students.
Yeah. Wait, 1957, what, they just don't care about people that are...
I don't know. I guess if you're that old, you're immune.
Yeah, I think that's what they...
You haven't caught it by now.
So yeah. Or maybe they're looking at that...
Dinosaurs are immune, huh? That's...
looking at it as part of their budget cutting process. I don't know.
I'm 3 years removed from that.
That's when the vaccines were...
I remember going in there
standing in the halls.
I think that's all I have.
Do you remember anything else yet?
Well, did we do minutes?
I got four.
What?
Yeah, they were all together. They were all together.
Financial report.
They were all together.
All one more.
Okay.
Was Christine Rasmussen approved for the last?
Yes. I just read that in the minutes. Yeah. Double check.
So that's all I have right now. Unless you have questions.
Any public comments?
The UCAS reports, you know, are public now. They're on the website that I shared with you a little bit last time. They've redone how those are reported, and it really makes it look a lot better than it was before.
Oh, good.
But the data is the same, but it's just the way it was presented and reported on the... One way it looked really bad, and the other way it doesn't look so bad. It actually looks pretty good.
Appreciated the email from John about the testing that's consolidating of testing, which is...
And we are working toward the DIBELS and doing the assessments like Mr. Johnson talked about with 4th, 5th, and 6th. We're talking about a plan to be able to buy the hardware, but we would probably have to share the cost of the license, the annual license, with the schools. Maybe district paying half, schools paying half, but we are working toward moving that direction. even as soon as next year, if not sometime this year, but next year. So,
yeah.
Do you have another comment?
You know, we've already got some hardware that probably running.
So.
Any close
meeting? Did you have another comment? Okay.
Excuse me. Any closed meeting items?
No.
Okay, then.
Oh, I move we adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Wow.
It wasn't a record, but it was close.
You're making you really popular. I'm going to stop.
Laurel.